I realise we have run over a little bit. It's already 10:45, so I'll do my best to speak this message as quickly as I can. Pastor Kerry just said to me, "Do you just want to do it next week?" I was like, "No, I really believe this is for today." Just with God, what God has already spoken during this morning's message. You know, the verse that Craig got up and spoke is actually a verse that I'm speaking about in my sermon at some point in my sermon. So I really believe God wants to share this with you today. So let's just pray before we start. Father God, I just want to thank you for what you have been doing already in our hearts. God, I want to thank you that your presence is here and that you are so eager to meet with us, not just as a group of people, but individually as your sons and daughters. So God, I just ask that you would help us to remain attentive and just with open hearts to receive what it is you want to say to us. I pray that you would speak through me and use me as your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we heard Pastor Craig share a message on channeling your passion into your God-given purpose. You know, before our very conception, God set out a path for each of us, a unique purpose for each of our lives that only we are gifted for, that only we can achieve. Exodus chapter 9, verse 13 says, "I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." This is only one of over 50 verses in the Bible that talk about the purposes of God and God's purpose for each of us. As Christians, we often hear the phrase, "God's calling on my life," or each one of us has a unique calling and purpose for our lives. It's something that we hear with our ears, but often lack the heart revelation of what that actually means. What happens, though, if you've forgotten your purpose? What happens if you don't actually know what your purpose is, or if you do, but you just can't seem to get there? What happens if your purpose seems so far from where you are and who you see yourself as, that you become stuck in the failed attempts of achieving God's purpose for your life? You get to the point where it seems like it's never going to happen, so you just kind of stop trying. All those dreams and passions that Jesus birthed in your heart begin to fade into the background instead of driving you forward. Doubt creeps in, fear creeps in, and this is where the enemy loves to whisper lies of nothingness into your soul. What happens if you've been derailed from your purpose? I'm bringing you a message this morning called Back on Track. You know, if this is you this morning, if you feel like already this is something you can relate to, you feel like maybe you've lost your direction, that maybe through various circumstances or influences not of your own doing, you've been derailed from your purpose, tune into this message this morning because God wants to get you back on track. In 2009, God called me into ministry here at Hillside. I began working at the church a couple of days a week, leading the youth ministry, and I also became a chaplain at a primary school. And that first year working in ministry was one of the hardest years of my life. I knew God had called me, but I completely doubted the purpose for my life. I was so fearful of what that would look like and the responsibility that that would bring for me that I hid away from what Jesus was speaking into my heart. I couldn't run a ministry. I couldn't be a pastor. Like, what on earth had I gotten myself into? And in the middle of this, in my chaplaincy role, I'd become very insecure about who I was and about my capabilities. The deputy principal at the school didn't seem to like me very much. It was like I couldn't do anything right, ever. All of my attempts to prove myself failed, and I became more and more sure that I was not meant to be in the place that I was. And it was in this season that the devil took full advantage of my weaknesses and insecurities, and he amplified them in my mind to the point that I fought against even being entitled as a youth pastor. I questioned God's purpose for my life, and I lost my identity in him. I spent many days driving home from work in tears. I felt so hurt with nothing left to give. And I had this area chaplain that I had to report to, and she walked me through a lot of my struggles during that year. I remember there was this one particular day where a meeting had been called with the deputy principal and my area chaplain, as well as myself and two other staff members. And it was a meeting that honestly nearly broke me. Basically, an onslaught of everything that I was doing wrong and how I was failing the school and the students. So as you can imagine, as soon as the meeting was over, I burst into tears. And my area chaplain said to me, "You've got to gird your loins." And I was just like, what does that even mean? To gird, okay, I'll gird my loins, that will help. So, to gird up one's loins, or gird oneself for something, is to prepare and strengthen oneself for future actions, typically ones that may be dangerous or difficult. You know, this might be seem a little bit extreme for the situation I was going through. You know, to prepare or strengthen myself for something that could be dangerous or difficult. But in the spirit, this was exactly what I needed to do. In a biblical sense, men would gird their loins in preparation for battle. As they put on their armour, they would then gird themselves so that they could freely move and attack their enemies. It would be the final act, a final layer of protection as they move forward into battle. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's totally okay if you're not following me, because we're actually going to do a live demonstration of how to gird your loins. If I can please get my assistant to come out. First he's wheeling a bin out, now he's like, so what's going on, Craig? So we've got some images up on the screen, if I can get those up. I found these on the internet, they're quite funny. Step one, well, the first little instruction, it says, the tunic wouldn't allow you to do heavy labour or fight in battle, necessitating the girding of one's loins. First, are you ready, Craig? Okay. First, hoist the tunic up so that all the fabric is above your knees. This will give you mobility. Secondly, gather all the extra material in front of you so the back of the tunic is snug against your backside. Thirdly, once the excess fabric is gathered in front, pull it underneath and between your legs to your rear. This feels much like a diaper. Gather half of the material in each hand, bring it back around to the front. Finally, tie your two handfuls of material together and you're all set for both battle and some hard labour. Go forth, be ye men, and gird up your loins. Demonstration. I never thought I'd see that high on your thigh. We practiced that during the week a couple of times. It didn't go very well. Because if you actually do it the way the pictures say, you need like heaps and heaps of fabric, and there wasn't enough on his tunic. And at this point, you might be thinking, like, what is going on here? Why are we talking about girding our loins? Why is Craig in a dress? We don't wear tunics. We're not in the middle of a war. But that's exactly what we forget. We are in a war every day. Maybe not a war we can see with our physical eyes, but a war nonetheless. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, when the subject of spiritual warfare comes up, there are some people who go to kind of one of two extremes. Either they overestimate Satan's influence and power, where like every sin, every problem, everything that goes wrong is the fault of demonic forces that need to be cast out. Or they completely underestimate Satan, in that they completely ignore the spiritual realm and the difficulties that he is stirring up just below the surface. And the key is to reach a healthy biblical balance, where we can acknowledge the work of the enemy and fight back, but also stand in the victory that we have over him through Jesus. Know that this battle that we are in is already won. Satan has been defeated for all eternity through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have every right to remind him of that. But Satan is not giving up easily. He is attempting to take as many of God's children down with him as he can. One of the most effective ways he has of doing this is derailing God's children from the purposes that God has planted inside of us. You see, the enemy knows full well who we are created to be in Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The enemy knows full well who we are created to be in Jesus. He knows full well that if every human being was to discover their true identity in God and fulfill their God-given purpose with the passion and gifts that God has given them, his attempt to take anyone down would dismally fail. I believe Satan's biggest goal is to distract us, to lie to us, destroy us in an attempt to cause us to doubt God's purpose for each of our lives, to cause us to deny our true identity in Jesus. Do not fear, though. We do not need to be discouraged by this, because God has equipped us with protection, weapons, and a battle plan to stand against the attack of the enemy in our lives. God's instructions for this can be found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10 to 17, and we're just going to read through that together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As a child, I remember going to school with my brothers, and in the car, my mum would talk to us about the armour of God, and we would almost like pretend to put on each piece in preparation for the day ahead. This is a pretty well-known passage of God's word, to the point I feel like it's almost passed over. But I want to really explore this morning exactly what God is equipping us with here and take this opportunity to acknowledge the true power he has given us through Jesus Christ. You know, as we've already talked about, we are in a spiritual battle, not in the physical world, but a battle nonetheless, a battle against the darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. And to stand against this, God has given us his armour. Sorry, my little girl's just running down the front here. What I love is that he shows us this armour in a way that we can actually understand it, but there's also so much strategy in each piece. The first piece of armour is the belt of truth. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You know, it's not a coincidence that this is the first item that is mentioned. Truth is not relative. The truth of God's love, of our salvation through Jesus, of his word by which we live by, who God says we are, all these things are absolute truths. And yet if a person's understanding of these truths is out of alignment, then right from the start, their armour is compromised. You see, the belt of truth is central to the whole set of armour. The belt holds it all together, which is why truth becomes one of the first targets to the enemy. If Satan can convince us to believe his lies about the Father, he gains a foothold in our lives. The Bible says in John 8:44, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. One of Satan's weapons in this spiritual war is lying and deception. Back when I first dipped into ministry, my understanding of God's truth was under attack. I was being influenced by the lies of the enemy to the point where I was doubting what God had said about me and what he had placed in my heart. He was trying to derail me from God's purpose for my life by manipulating my view of the truth. The second piece of armour is the breastplate of righteousness, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The Bible says that through Jesus Christ, we become the righteousness of God. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Righteous means morally right or justifiable. Through the death of Jesus, we have been made right. We have been justified before God the Father, not through any work of our own, but through the grace of Jesus through faith. This is a work that God completes in our hearts when we live in surrender to him. The breastplate protects our hearts, and when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we are protecting our hearts and walking in the righteousness that God has given us. And the enemy would love to make us feel like we aren't worthy of the grace of God, that there is too much sin in our lives to be made right, that we have to earn our way into becoming the righteousness of God. This is a lie. Jesus took all of our sin upon himself so that we might be made right with God. There is nothing that we can do to earn our way into his love. So let's boldly put on the breastplate of righteousness and walk in God's forgiveness of us as he continues the work in our hearts. Thirdly, we are told to put on the boots of the gospel of peace, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The overarching purpose of God's people is to go out into the world, spreading the gospel and making disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's Matthew 28:19. In a battle, the last thing the enemy wants is for you to take ground in their territory. A trademark of a follower of Jesus is a spirit of peace. The enemy would love to disturb our peace, wreaking havoc in our lives, in our families. And yet God has given us boots to advance his kingdom with peace, sharing the gospel to all those around us. An army that advances in peace disarms the enemy, because through his love, all fear is cast out. Next, we are given the shield of faith. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Faith is the application of everything we believe. For everything we cannot see, we live in faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Our faith is our first line of defence. It is what we hold in front of us and acts as a shield that deflects the attacks of the enemy. The enemy attempts to dismantle our faith in order to cause us to question everything that we believe. If Satan can cause our faith to waver, he can find a weakness in our armour. And while our defences are down, he can find vulnerabilities in our lives to target. We don't need a lot of faith, though, for God can use even the smallest amount of faith to move mountains. When Jesus shows us what he can do with the little faith that we have sometimes, our confidence is instilled in him, and we are able to raise that shield again as our first line of defence. Next, we have the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Our salvation is our eternal security in Jesus. Who we are made to be through the salvation of Jesus is an understanding that we continue to develop in our minds. Our minds are in this constant battle, though, between what we can easily comprehend and what actually just takes a choice of belief. Our minds can be deceived into believing false doctrine, and without the helmet of salvation, we leave our minds open to being influenced by the words of the enemy. The Bible teaches us to take our thoughts captive. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The enemy sows thoughts of fear and doubt in our minds. You know, when there are so many thoughts going to and fro in your mind between what you thought you knew about your father and what you're being convinced to believe about him. Take captive those thoughts. Put on the helmet of salvation, which protects your mind from the attack of the enemy, and know that your victory, your salvation, is in and through Jesus. And lastly, we're told to take up the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I just want you to take note that this is the only offensive weapon we are given in our armoury. Every other piece of weaponry is defensive. The offensive weapon God gives us is his word. You know, that might bring up a kind of defeatist response in you, like, really? That's it? That's all we're getting to attack the enemy? And if that's your initial response, we so desperately need a heart revelation of the power and authority we have in God's written word. When we speak out God's word, we speak out truth. His word is alive and has been given to us not only as nourishment for our souls, but as a weapon. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword." When Jesus was being attacked by Satan in the desert, he fought back with the word of God. Like, literally every one of his responses was words from the Bible. His responses to the devil's efforts in swaying Jesus from his purpose was the written, living word of God. You can read this story in Matthew 4. The armour of God, the weapons that he has given us, are specifically designed for the destruction of the enemy's plots against us. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." We've been given some pretty effective weaponry to stand strong in the spiritual war we find ourselves in. And it might even seem like that's enough. Like, surely we don't need anything else. But the last verse of this passage in Ephesians 6 is often looked over. It's verse 18, and it says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." You see, prayer ties the whole ensemble together. activates each piece of armour and weaponry with the full intention that God gave it. I've been reading a book by Priscilla Shire, and she talks a little bit about this. Some versions of this verse say pray in the spirit at all times. And the original word for at all times is kairos, which refers to specific moments, precise and particular events. If in this spiritual battle we detect the enemy at work, we need to release strategic and specific prayers targeted to those very moments. Praying with this intent propels the armour of God into action. Arming ourselves with the armour of God without prayer is like going into battle with no battle plan. When we pray in the Spirit, we are relying on and listening to the voice of God, revealing to us how and what to pray. It is through prayer that He gives us the battle plan for the battle that we are facing in that moment. If I can just go to the next slide, please. This is where gaining that biblical balance of spiritual warfare is so important. Because giving the enemy too much credit is like letting him take ground in your life and the purpose God has given you. Yes, the enemy is at work, but he's not responsible for every single bad thing that happens. We are covered by the blood of Jesus, and Jesus is the one fighting for us. But on the other hand, completely ignoring Satan when you've been given every weapon to stand against him basically does the same thing. It passively gives him authority in your life. We need to stay vigilant in our awareness of the spiritual realm, and reach that biblical balance of standing in victory, armed and ready to advance God's kingdom. Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians 2 to follow the example of Christ so that Satan cannot take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. And Ephesians tells us to not give the devil a foothold. God is fighting for us, and we have Jesus on our side. Through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, and by arming ourselves with the armour of God, we can stand in our victory through Jesus Christ, whilst pushing the enemy back and taking ground in his territory. For me, I notice that the enemy tries to derail me from my purpose when God is leading me into new territory. Things start going wrong, like the laundry taps breaking and the washing machine blades ripping our clothes, my car being rear-ended, fighting with my husband over insignificant things, all in the space of a few days. And some people would hear that and be like, oh, it's just coincidence, you know, stuff just happens. And yes, there's absolutely times where stuff just happens for various reasons. But when it's out of the ordinary, consistent things that are occurring over a short period of time, things that go wrong, accidents, tension and arguing in relationships, more often than not, it's the enemy trying to throw you off course, trying to distract you and derail you from the things of God. It's not just coincidence. And it's in these times of spiritual warfare that discerning when the enemy is at work is so important. Being able to recognise that while standing in the armour of God and strategically praying into those situations, you have the authority to disarm the enemy from whatever scheme he had in mind. I said earlier that the enemy knows full well who we are created to be in Jesus. He knows the purpose that God has given each one of us. He knows the gifts and potential that God has placed inside of us. Even if you don't know, even if you haven't found your purpose yet, or your identity in Jesus, or had that heart revelation of who you are in Him, even if you don't know who you are in Jesus, the enemy does know. And he will do everything in his power to keep you in the dark. He will do everything to take you down with him and keep you from the purposes of God for your life. As he attempts to throw us off the path Jesus has laid out before us, as Satan attacks your belief of the truth, your identity, your faith and salvation, and your understanding of the grace and blood of Jesus over your life, he's hoping that you will fail to recognise the potency of the armour of God and weaponry that God has given you. He's hoping that you won't realise the offensive weapons that are sitting right in front of you, God's word and prayer. And can I just tell you that the enemy is brazen? You know, I said that to my husband the other day. I was really angry at an attempt by the enemy to disarm me and derail me. And I was like, man, the enemy's just brazen. And I asked Ben if he knew what that meant, and he's just kind of like, no, not really. And I said, brazen is like being bold, but not in a good way. It's like a little kid stealing your wallet from right in front of you, and he knows you can see him, but he's hoping that you won't see him. He's hoping that you won't realise he's stealing your wallet. You know, brazen means to be bold and without shame. The Bible tells us that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's found in John 10:10. You know, we read that verse and I think almost desensitized to the warning in it. Satan wants to destroy as many of God's children as possible, whether they know Jesus or not. He is brazen and will come into territory that is not his. Territory like your homes, your families, your workplaces, your relationships. Through Jesus, we have the authority to take ground in his name, to claim territory for God's kingdom. The enemy has no right to enter this territory, and when he tries, he is trespassing. This verse, Joshua 1:3, which Craig got up and shared earlier, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Don't let the enemy steal from you. He's hoping you won't see it. He's hoping that you won't realize the power and authority you have in Jesus. Stand today and arm yourself against the attacks of the enemy on your life, on your family's lives. And let him know that he will gain no more ground. Let him know that, in fact, you are taking ground back. Amen?
Amen.
If I can please get the worship team up. The verse that we started off with, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. You know, in that first year of ministry for me, I was told to gird my loins. I'd forgotten what my mum had taught us about putting on the armour of God. I didn't understand the power I had to stand against the enemy with the armour of God. But more than that, I didn't understand the weapon he has given us with his word and with prayer. I didn't know that I could gird my loins as that final layer of protection as I advanced forward as a part of the army of God. If you know that you have been derailed from your purpose, if you're struggling to find your identity in Jesus, this message is for you this morning. You know, maybe the enemy has been in your head manipulating your belief of salvation. Maybe you've been convinced to work for your righteousness or the truth of who God is and he calls you to be is based on a lie. Maybe you haven't felt the peace of God in your life for a long time. And the Bible for you is just words on a page. Maybe you haven't been able to open your heart to the revelation of the power of prayer. Maybe your faith is at the lowest point it has ever been. Choose today to stand, to put on the armour of God that Jesus has left us with, to stand in the face of your battle, knowing that your victory is in Jesus. Stand against the attack of the enemy and the attempt to throw you off course. Let his spirit this morning restore your brokenness, your pain, your doubt and fear. Let his spirit release you into your true identity and purpose. Let him put you back on track. God is just, he's just so good. Faithful. And I really believe there are people here this morning that are struggling to believe that. You know, we had Craig come and share this word this morning, and people going, I just need to see you move, God. I just need to see you do it again. And I've just brought a message to you to bring that revelation of knowing that you can stand armed. You can stand armed with his power and authority and protection in the middle of what you're facing. That you don't have to ignore the enemy's work in your life. And maybe you don't even realize that you've been letting him take ground. But I believe there's people here this morning that have been in this place for a long time, have doubted their purpose in God, and have just been like going through life like, yeah, okay, I'll go to church, I'll do this, whatever. But the true purpose that God has placed in your heart, it's like it's a bit dormant. Know that it's not meant to be dormant. It's not something you're meant to just forget about. Because we are God's children. We are his chosen ones. We are his army, church. And if we continue to let the devil take ground in our lives, we're not advancing God's kingdom. We're going to sing this song again, Do It Again. And if this is you this morning, you know that you've been derailed from the purposes of God in your life, or you're questioning whether you even knew what those purposes were in the first place, I just want to encourage you to come forward, to come and make that stand, to be armed with the weaponry that God has given you. He wants to activate those purposes in your heart again this morning. So I'd just like to invite you all to stand.